Dr. Kathy Loomis is a licensed psychologist and certified behavioral sleep medicine specialist. Today in the podcast, Dr. Loomis will discuss strategies that residents and medical students can use to ensure optimal sleep, even in the context of medical training.
Hello, I wanted to talk with you about how to get good sleep while you're at the medical college. As we all know, medical training is an endeavor that's not always conducive to good sleep. So I wanted to talk first for a few minutes about the importance of sleep, and then give you four specific tips to either improve sleep, or if you have good sleep, preserve it during this challenging time. First, and you may be aware of this, there's so much new research coming out about the importance of sleep. To give you just some examples, one study looked at healthy young men and found that even a short amount of sleep deprivation caused temporary changes in glucose metabolism. There are studies that relate sleep deprivation and sleep apnea to changes in weight, and perhaps this is due to changes in hormones that regulate appetite. There's some interesting studies that look at memory and learning, where they have participants learn something new, some get a nap or an overnight sleep period while others don't, and then they're retested, and you can see how much the sleep period facilitated learning and memory consolidation. Now, it is important to acknowledge that while you're in medical training, sleep can get sacrificed. However, I think you can compare sleep to diet and exercise in the way you approach it. With diet and exercise, we've learned what a big effect these things have on our health. And then, many of us have to be very consciously working on our diet and exercise. It just doesn't come naturally, especially in our environment with restaurants and our dependence on cars instead of walking. Well, we also may need to be that conscious and intentional about our sleep. It may be necessary to take some time to think about sleep and determine how much of a priority it is for you and how you're going to fit it into your busy schedule. You may find that sleep requires some planning and prioritizing, or you may find you'll need to communicate with roommates and partners about sleep. For example, how you'll handle things if you have different sleep schedules, how you'll handle noise and light, and how you may sometimes need to choose sleep over other things that are important to the other person. And looking at your sleep could also involve uncovering your beliefs about sleep. Many people that I work with hold certain beliefs about sleep that aren't even consciously recognized, really. One common belief, especially for those who are very busy, is that sleep may really just be a waste of time, or maybe more common, that if you sleep, you may miss something important that's going on. For others, perhaps people who have been through trauma, sleep can be seen as unsafe or make a person vulnerable. In any case, if you have any of these beliefs, it's really important to recognize them and address them head on. For example, you may need to look at a few abstracts in the research to see, wow, sleep may really give me a real mental advantage. So, what are some things that you can do to improve sleep? I have four tips for you. The first is set boundaries to protect your sleep. So, if you have some difficulty sleeping or just have a busy life, the boundaries between sleep and wake can become blurred. Think about sleep. You're not conscious, you're not aware of time, you're not aware of thoughts and worries. It's very peaceful. To get there, it requires building a buffer zone between sleep and wake. You can't just go from a very challenging day to being knocked out of sleep. So it's good to spend time before bed, winding down from the day by doing something relaxing and fun that isn't school or work related. Be sure to shut down technology in the hour or so before bed. This not only helps to set the boundaries, but there's some evidence that the light from screens can delay your melatonin secretion and affect your sleep. Busy people often say that the time before bed is the only time for them to talk with their partner, but you want to watch that because it can sometimes be stressful and sleep interfering if you have to talk about, like, taking the car in for service right before you drift off. So again, it's good to plan other times to do that. Try not to eat big meals too close to bed because you'll be still digesting your food. And if you're mentally alert before bed, it doesn't work to force yourself into sleep. And if you find yourself trying to sleep, you only get frustrated and more awake. It's better just to get up and do something you enjoy. To further set good boundaries, hide clocks and avoid looking at the time at night. Another thing is to set limits on when people can call you. And it's also helpful to darken your window so the morning light doesn't wake you up. Setting an alarm clock every day can prevent you from having to rely on your own sense of time to wake you. The second recommendation or tip is to put a plan in place for night work and unusual work times. The most important consideration really is your safety. And there have been studies of car accidents among residents after finishing long shifts, and you really want to avoid that. I could say a lot on this topic, but really I'll shorten it down to, if you feel sleepy, it's best to take a short nap before driving. And as a second option, you can use caffeine, but it needs about 20 minutes or so just to take effect. We are really not good at predicting when we're going to fall asleep. And so just trying to push through by turning up the radio or chewing gum is notoriously ineffective if you're driving. The discussion on boundaries for sleep is even more relevant when considering working nights, because you have to work harder to set the boundaries if you sleep during the day. Naps can be very important here because you may need to take any opportunity that you have to take even a brief nap. A nap can be especially helpful before a long shift because it releases some of that drive for sleep that builds up over the day. If you'll be working night shifts, you may want to consider exploring this topic further by checking links provided and other information on coping with shift work. The third shift is to use good sleep hygiene. And you probably know, you've heard of this before, those rules for good sleep that physicians tell patients about and that we all see and read about in magazines all the time. Following these guidelines and considering how they apply to your sleep can make you more resistant to future sleep problems. I'll highlight just a few of them for you. Trying to keep a consistent wake-up time is really important, although for some of you that just may not be possible. But if it is possible, it's a good thing for several reasons. First, it keeps those biological rhythms more consistent. And if you sleep later one day, then your drive for sleep may not be built up as much as it should be by the time you go to bed the next night, and you'll have bad sleep, and that just leads to one of those vicious cycles. If you can't sleep, it's really better not to stay in bed tossing and turning. You begin to associate your bed with arousal, and that's an important factor in the development and maintenance of insomnia. So it's really best to, and you've probably heard this before, use your bed only for sleep and sex, or else you'll associate it with other activities, reading, watching TV, and that just makes it more difficult to sleep. The fourth and final tip is be aware of sleep disorders. And I should mention here that one of the cardinal symptoms of many sleep disorders is excessive daytime sleepiness, where a person has the urge to fall asleep a lot of the time. If you think about it, it really isn't normal for us to fall asleep while we're reading or driving or to need massive amounts of coffee to function. So if you have that problem, it's a sign that something is going on, and it's something to pay attention to, whether it's from lack of sleep or other things. Now, it's important to keep in mind that there is a circadian rhythm disorder called shift work disorder, where people have difficulty staying awake during their shift and difficulty sleeping during their sleep time. If this is a big problem for you and interferes with your functioning, it's really important to check it out. Sleep apnea is also something to rule out. The symptoms of sleep apnea are snoring, waking, gasping for breath or choking, or having a bed partner notice pauses in breathing. And people with sleep apnea are often, but not always, overweight and often have hypertension, even at a younger age. People are much better now at identifying and treating sleep apnea. But interestingly, insomnia is actually more prevalent and yet hasn't come as far in identification and treatment. What I've noticed is that many people think that they just need to live with their insomnia. Or others believe that if they would just follow those sleep hygiene guidelines, their insomnia would be gone. Yet we know through extensive research that medications and cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia are effective treatments, and both of those options are readily available in the Milwaukee area. It's interesting to note that just having a person work on sleep hygiene has not been found to be an effective treatment for insomnia. There are beginning to be more studies showing that insomnia is associated with other health conditions. For example, one interesting study, it's a longitudinal study, and it's of medical students, showed that the presence of insomnia during medical school was predictive of depression at follow-up 35 years later. So if you're having difficulty falling asleep and/or staying asleep, it's really important to get that treated. Physicians board certified in sleep medicine would be able to assess for all of these issues, and they can also direct you to psychologists who specialize in sleep, who can provide behavioral treatments for some sleep disorders. So, in conclusion, you know, medical training is certainly a time when sleep can suffer because of many reasons, really. All that you do, just that you're so busy, being in an intellectually challenging environment, and having unusual schedules. But it is very important to look at how sleep fits into your broader life, know that there are changes that you can make that can help, and that sleep disorders should be identified and treated. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.